just obviously excited about the way we're scoring the ball. That was good. We got a little careless there at times, but you know, still as bad as we played off. Not as bad as we played, but as the miscues that we had, I thought still to only have 13 turnovers with that reckless abandon at times is still not bad. So we get on stretches there where we really take care of the ball, and I'm excited about that. We still had too many me shots. We ended up with 14 assists, but there were a lot of opportunities that I saw a guy could have made that extra pass, you know. So we'll get them there. Again, it's going to be a process. This team is probably the team that we win against the Highlands is New Mexico Highlands is probably a little better than they showed tonight, to be quite honest. I thought we did a pretty good job on them defensively. Got our hands on a lot of balls. Got a lot of deflections. I don't know my final deflection count, but as you guys know, I don't want to get 35 of those. So there's some good statistical thing. I think the only glaring thing that jumps out at me, and I'm sure Mark Anderson will make this clear to me later, but the rebounds were, you know, we didn't do too well on the rebounding side of things. To give up 53 rebounds and 23 offensive rebounds is obviously the glaring thing to look at. A little easier to swallow in this type of game, but still some really good film for these guys to see them. They're just staring at, I call them rim runners, you know, and a shot goes up and they're just running to the rim instead of making the contact with guys. So, again, correctable errors, things we can drill them on and get them a little more aggressive about that physicality part of the game. So, but it was good. Overall, it was a better effort than Tuesday, and that's what you want to see is progress.
And that was right after the game Friday night against New Mexico Highlands. And, you know, he talked about the rebounds. And, yeah, it's a bit disappointing when you 53 rebounds. But, again, when you're missing two of the guys that are probably going to be counted on for rebounds in Dembele and, of course, Dwayne Morgan, the guy with the most significant minutes coming back, when those two guys are back on the floor, I think you won't see the rebounding skewed as much, although – you know, you're giving up 53 rebounds against New Mexico Highlands. That is something to be a bit concerned about. Bernie Fratto joining the show now, host of Rebel Extra, starting this coming Friday after they get done with the UNLV men's basketball broadcast. You will hear Rebel Extra. John Von Tobel and Bernie Fratto will be the host of that show. Bernie, I know you went to the first exhibition game against Dakota Wesleyan, and I went to Friday night's game against New Mexico Highlands. What was your assessment, and was there anything that initially surprised you in either a good or bad direction?
Well, I think Chris Clyburn, the young man out of Ranger Junior College in Texas, who was a 51% three-point shooter there last year and made the all-defensive team, stuck out, became a fan favorite early. He's very active. He's got a nose for the rim, and he anticipates well. But what I've made up my mind to do, Brian, regarding this team, is simply not evaluate or judge them till the season is completed in total. It's just incredible to think that mid-April we didn't have a coach, and Coach Menzies was able to cobble together this group so quickly, and now reality is here, and the future has arrived ahead of schedule. South Alabama comes to town Friday night, and the games begin for real, and the schedule to me will be the real storyline this year. You've got Duke, Kansas, and Oregon in the 12-day stretch. We got about two Arizona State. We got the first true road game will be at Southern Utah against Todd Simon, and you know he wants to knock our block off. And then when conference starts, there are three of the first four games on the road at Colorado State, at Utah State, and at Boise State. So the basketball gods weren't very kind to this team when it came to scheduling, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch. So in terms of surprises, first impressions, evaluations, it's going to be a year where I think we've got to give them an entire year to let this team fully form.
Okay, acceptable. You killed my last answer because I was going to ask you for a little prognosticating, but you got it. Real quick, I have to say I was amazed when Ruben, the longtime usher at the Thomas and Mack Center, told me you were there Tuesday night, because that same night was Game 6 of the World Series, and I would have bet everything I had that if I were asked what Bernie Fratto was doing that night, I would have been in the poorhouse, because I had the privilege of hearing your great World Series story where you missed one of the greatest moments in World Series history.
Right.
Yeah, to quote you and Robin Williams and Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, to see about a girl. Never would I have thought you would risk that again to see an exhibition college basketball game.
Well, that's a great line. One of the great movie scenes in Good Will Hunting when they're reenacting when Carlton Fisk's home run. I was there Tuesday night. I guess the Cubs did play the Indians that night, didn't they? Long and the short of it is, I thought it was going to go seven games anyway, so I really wanted to see this team live against somebody else, and frankly speaking, there's not a whole lot you can glean, Brian, from the two opponents they played this last week, taking nothing away from them. But I would say I'll give you a little bit better answer to your first question. Marvin Menzies is a defensive-oriented coach. He's a great teacher of individual defense and team defense. Not just stance and movement and footwork and such, but communicating and switching. And frankly, we were fairly well lost against Dakota Wesleyan Tuesday. I think there were some defensive improvements Friday night. They had 27. If I'm not mistaken, they forced 27 turnovers. So they're going to be a work in progress. But they're going to step up and class a big time athletically. Even though South Alabama was only 14-19 last year, They played a decent schedule, and they hung around with a lot of quality teams. So I don't know what to expect Friday night. You brought up Dembele. They got to get his foot ready. I'm not sure Sylvanian is ready to play center at this level yet and be a contributor. And if those guys don't pan out, we're going to head into the season with a 6-7 center. So that could be a real issue as the season gets going. That's something to watch. Defensive improvement and our low post play.
Interesting. I thought Christian Jones played a little bit bigger than his 6'7 frame. 225, he does have some bulk to him. And, he does have some Division I college experience. Fifth year, I think this guy will help us out. I know it's I did see some talent in sophomore transfer. As you mentioned, the kid that played at Granger College also, who's out of Detroit, Chris Claiborne. And freshman Troy Baxter Jr., for a lack of a better analogy, looks like a poor man's Derek Jones Jr. And I was also impressed, as I mentioned, with the senior transfer from St. John's, Christian Jones. I think he had some experience and some size. Did you see anyone besides Claiborne that you thought stood out to you?
I did like Christian Jones. He's 6'7". He's athletic. He looks strong. He is the upperclassman, type of upperclassman they need. He goes up. He gets up above the rim well. Again, we don't know how he's going to fare when he goes up against the likes of San Diego State, et cetera, but we'll find out. Again, Chris Claiborne, very active. Troy Baxter, I have kept my eyes on because he was a great find. I mean, he was a legitimate four-star player out of Florida. And for Coach Menzies to lock him down so late in the process from Tallahassee, Florida, he had some big-name schools after him. And he ended up here, and he looks like he's got a chance to be active. But, boy, it just seems like the more you know, the more you don't know. I've got to really observe this team for about 2 months, really, Brian, to really get a gauge on how things pan out. And hopefully, they can avoid the injury bug, which has been an issue with UNLV teams the last couple of years. And the other thing, too, is how will they react when things don't go well? I'm very concerned about the Southern Utah game. They're going to give us everything they have. If somehow they catch UNLV, is doubt inserted? And how do they deal with that doubt? Or, if the Duke game or one of the other games against these, Brian, they played number one, number three, and number five in a span of 12 days. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's an incredible schedule. You saw the rankings come out last Tuesday.
Yeah, it's almost unfair.
How do we react? How does a team react if those turn out to be rough outings? They may be good. I mean, you could look, the bottom line is we don't know, so it's going to be fun to watch. I know that Coach K talks about a game he had at North Carolina when he took over the program in 81, and they lost by like 44, and they all went to Denny's after the game. And his coaching staff said, looked at him and said, we've got to put this out of our mind and forget this as soon as possible. And Coach K looked at them and says, no, we've got to never forget this. We're going to take what we learned from this and build from it. And so they were able to take those setbacks early when they were a young, growing team. I mean, and they hung Coach K in effigy on his front lawn. That's how brutal it was there. So the long and the short of it is there'll be a lot of history to be written here, but I think to draw too many conclusions too soon will be perhaps not the total picture.
I couldn't agree with you more. I said I was saying Friday night, you know, I liked what I saw from Jalen Poizer running the point, but the bottom line is he's going to have to live up to his last name and have some poise at that point guard position to run it on a regular basis, being a sophomore and second most playing time experience on this team behind Dwayne Morgan. It's going to be interesting. Bernie Fratto, always a good friend of mine, always a pleasure to have you on my show. Great insight, and you didn't miss the shot heard around the world by Kurt Gibson this time around, but I'll tell you what, Addison Russell sure made some noise on Tuesday night. He missed six RBIs for the 22-year-old shortstop. It was pretty impressive. He was making a bid to become the first Mr. November, but that won't be him. Zobrist got the MVP award. Bernie, I appreciate it, man. Thanks, as always, for joining the show.
True story. I was in the parking lot pulling away when Gibson hit the dinger, and I was there that night. So we'll talk. I'll tell that story more at length next time we talk.
Absolutely. Bernie Fratto, again, you'll hear him this coming Friday night after the South Alabama game. He'll be on every single UNLV broadcast after the game with Rebel Extra, him and John Van Tobel. It's a great show and some great post-game insight. Bernie, as always, appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Mags, we're just about out of time. We got to fly through blazing, man. That's all there is to it. And we're going to go right to it right now. Can you play the song? Give me a little "This Is Why I'm Hot" in the background. I got to hear it, man. This is why I'm hot. Well, listen, since it's election day in 2 days, and it's the worst, most backwards-ass election I have experienced in the 10 elections I have been eligible to vote in, I'm going to do my blazing backwards today. So this week, instead of blazing, I'm doing anti-blazing, or for our purposes today, we're going to call it Freezer Burn, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing, best place in America for wings, beer, and sports. Two happy hours nightly and every Monday night, including tomorrow night. I am there hosting the Monday Night Football Party, giving away replica jerseys, wing parties, and a whole lot more. Come on out and join me tomorrow night. That's at Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Plaza. And Freezer Burn, I got to tell you right now. So what we're talking about is the worst programs. I'm going to tell you about two college football programs that absolutely stink by their standards. The University of Notre Dame, who is 3-6, the worst they have been since the Jerry Faust days. And my alma mater, Michigan State University, after winning their first two games versus Furman and Notre Dame, they have lost seven straight. FYI, from 2013 through 2015, they lost a total of five games. It's called Stink on Ice or Freezer Burn. What do you got for me, Magnum?
Well, my blazing, a little bit of a homer pick today. Liverpool, my favorite soccer club on the entire planet. They beat the hell out of Watford today. Elton John is the hugest Watford fan on the planet. I don't know if Elton's listening. But Liverpool putting up six goals today in a demolition of Watford. And just a little betting tip. I don't know if the books have caught up. You may want to start looking at Liverpool games going over because they are scoring a ton of goals. Anybody who says soccer is boring, they need to watch Liverpool because they are as exciting as any NFL team, any college basketball team. They put up a ton of goals. Soccer, my favorite sport. Love it. Go Liverpool. Absolute ass-kicking today. Blazing. All day.
Brought to you
season.
By Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing. We are out of time. This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. He's Magnum, the producer. We are here every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. And do me a favor, as my good friend Bernie Fratto says, and I'm stealing it from him, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell your friends anyways. Out of Line. We'll see you next Sunday morning.
Thank you for your understanding. And I want to thank the crowd tonight. The people of Las Vegas who are here and